Thanks to GoDaddy for supporting this episode.
Hello, welcome to Open Channels FM. My name is Anne Bobolet, and usually I talk about accessibility and the ROI on that and how you should make the web accessible to everyone. But you know what? Today, we're talking about something different. 70%, I should say 72, because my guest is definitely going to correct me on that. 72% of the entire internet runs on something that is considered boring, PHP. And 60% of that PHP is being checked and improved by a project called PHP CodeSniffer. With me today is Juliette Vollmer-Reinders. I hope I say it correctly. I do it. I always remember JFR. Welcome to dyslexia, folks. Well,
JRF, and it's Juliette Reinders-Vollmer. But you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, most people just know me by my nickname anyway.
There are a lot of people who don't yet know who you are, Juliette. But what people should know is that if you decide to go on a long vacation, we might have a problem at world scale. And this is the reason why I asked you to come and talk at Open Channels FM, so we get a lot of people to hear what you have to say about this. Because if the project that you are maintaining has to step on the brakes, hosting companies will suffer, banks will suffer, insurances will suffer. It's unimaginable what will suffer if what you're doing is either stepped on the brakes or is being compromised. And we're talking about a problem at a scale. You think the Cloudflare outage was a problem? You have no clue. Now, that sounds icky, huh? Welcome, Juliette.
Thank you very much for that absolutely amazing introduction. I don't feel that the impact is that direct, but that is largely because, like most of open source, even if nobody touches it anymore, it will still continue to keep working for at least a little while. Mm-hmm. So until at some point, you know, something in the wider ecosphere changes, it will continue to work and people will not even notice that I've gone on holiday until it doesn't work anymore. But by then, the backlog will be so huge that it's really, really, really hard to get through and to be able to pick up again where I left off. So yes, it is definitely something which needs a lot of attention, and the risk of if something malicious would happen with some of the code which I maintain, that's another matter.
Yeah, so I think, Juliette, maybe we should start with you telling the audience what your background is. How did you roll into PHP and this incredible knowledge that you spread?
Oh, hell. Sorry. I barely know how to start to answer that question.
Well, I remember we were talking just before. Okay, so for the audience, we actually have a problem currently in open source. There's a lot of old people. And the thing is, both Juliette and I are considered old people. We're not 50. We're not old, but, you know, in our spheres, we're old people. And we were just talking about Y2K, was it called Y2K problem, the 2000 problem, and a language called COBOL, which is almost as big as PHP is. And people were seriously worried, and rightfully so. Nobody had ever thought through that three zeros in a software that ran, I don't know how many systems, especially salary systems, would be a problem. And we've all been sitting there and sweating. And this, folks, this is 26 years ago.
In 11 years' time, we'll have the next one, the next year 2000 problem. Because then most of the time, in a lot of systems, time is represented as a time stamp, which is seconds since 1st of January 1970.
Right, yeah.
That field runs over in 2037. And then again, we have the same problem as we had with the year 2000, that database columns which have a certain width will not be wide enough to hold the new value, and therefore everything will break again.
Oh, this one is fun. When you think this sounds really geeky, maybe you won't know your way around Excel or Google Sheets, and then you put in too many numbers and suddenly all you see is dashes, you know, that, well, the info is still in there. But if it doesn't fit, yeah, or those password fields it says that say no more than 12 characters, jicky. Yeah. So what I'm trying to do today in our talk is Juliet is highly skilled in the technical part, and I'm trying to make a translation to what others who are not so technically understand. So one of the things you need to understand is that if you use a banking app, there's PHP involved. If you are going to the website of your insurance company because you want to lay a claim, there's PHP involved. And there's one thing in open source. We are living much in the world of WordPress, the WordPress bubble. That's the community that we hang in the most, especially me. I don't know. I think Juliet hangs out in a lot of different communities as well. But there is so much more. And now here's the thing. This is open source, and this is an old language, and therefore people think it's not sexy because it's not the next new shiny framework. Speaking of frameworks, we've all seen the big scare that we had with Tailwind CSS, right? Oh my, the whole world was on its toes. Tailwind, they're in trouble. And they were, and maybe still are, but I think they're in less trouble now. And it was fantastic to see how so many companies outside of our bubble jumped in and were like, we have got to fund them. We have to make sure that they're still there, because there are many projects, very shiny projects, depending on Tailwind, which is a fantastic product. But if the product that Juliet works on stops in its tracks, it doesn't matter what shiny framework you use, what shiny component library you have, it doesn't matter, because the cracks are going to come. And I know I sound like doomsday. It's a whole different episode this time than I normally do. But really, I think the world needs a wake-up call. And the world needs to understand that it shouldn't always be the same 5-6 companies, wonderful companies within the WordPress ecosystem, for example, to fund projects of this importance. Because it's always the same people. And so many of them are like, rightfully so, we've sponsored enough. We're sponsoring so many things. Thank you, GoDaddy. Thank you, Automattic. And thank you, all the other sponsors that do their due diligence financially for PHP CodeSniffer. But it's a drop on the plate. Okay? Sending people into this project, that's kind. But then you're asking Juliet, can you train my people for free? And that's not right. And if we do that, Juliet is going to want to go on a long vacation much sooner, right? And I know I'm bringing this with a laugh and a smile, but the reason we're talking today is it is important that people understand that this project is so important. If it stops, we are in trouble up to our hips.
The two illuminate what you are saying, because I completely agree with what you're saying, is the technology which I'm working on is not sexy. And the technology of similar tools like CSFixer or PHP Stan or PHP Unit, it's not sexy. These are tools used by developers, and they're running in the background. Most of the time you don't hear them, you don't see them, and that's perfectly fine. That's good when you don't hear or see them, because that means your code is working correctly. And it's only when you hear them, but you hear them at a moment when you don't want to hear them. Like, hang on, but the it's now flagging something which it shouldn't flag. When people start complaining and are unhappy with it, with the tooling, and start shouting very loudly, it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. So for those not so technical, let's keep this fun for you guys and girls as well. What PHP CodeSniffer does. So code is being written, and PHP Sniffer, it's a sniffer. It's sniffing the code to check if there are issues, problems, security issues, other glitches. And the thing that makes this software so unique is it writes the fixes. That is the only application currently that does that. And I know there are other similar applications. Juliet can tell you about them, but I already know that they can only do one third of what PHP CodeSniffer can do. And people trust this software blindly. It's almost like people are treating ChatGPT, here's my code, go fix it. But ChatGPT usually doesn't fix it very well, but that's another story. And this too.
Just to intersect in this, number of years ago, we did like a really, 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 really big patch to WordPress. At that time, the biggest WordPress core patch ever. We rewrote in one commit over 100,000 lines of code. That was the when CodeSniffer was finally being enforced for WordPress.
Wow.
That was the biggest core patch ever. And believe me, nobody has reviewed those 100,000 lines.
No, wow.
Spot checks, yes, but nobody's reviewed all 100,000.
No, but this is one of the reasons why this project is so important, right? And it's not just WordPress. It's so many other systems as well. And one of the things we do need to worry about is, I know you are currently the sole maintainer of this project, and if it were my company, I would be very worried about that. I would never put one key person on a project of that significance. I would put in a lot of money to train people. And I think you are open to training people, but you're not going to do it for free. And why would you?
And it's also the people need to be open to coaching, to being trained. There's people who will just want to scratch their own itch and just send in a bug fix and expect you to commit it even if it's not right. I will not do that. There are also people who just, you know, will contribute in multiple places and multiple times, but only, again, to scratch their own itch.
That's a logical thing that this happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not
That's
good.
How I started as well.
Mm-hmm.
But to become a maintainer, you need to do more. You need to also want to do the grunt work. You need to also want to really understand how things work and think about, okay, if I want to create a new feature, how should it look from an architectural point of view?
Mm-hmm.
So it can be maintainable for the future, can be expanded upon for the future. Not just say, oh, but it works, we've been using this in-house in our company for a while, it works for us, so you should just accept it. And taking into consideration the amount of users, the amount of projects which depend on this project, it's not just your company. The fact that it works for your company, great, keep using it, but don't expect me to maintain it if the logic you've used to create this feature is something I cannot explain to the majority of users, because that maintenance burden, that support burden of all the users asking, yeah, but it doesn't work the way I expect it to, falls on me.
Yeah.
So unless I feel it's a logical way to do it and it's something I can explain in the simplest terms to the most junior end user, I will not accept your feature.
Yeah. And I mean, if there were five or six of you, none of you, also the five or six people would not take on that feature, but you would have a less of a burden explaining that to people.
And with five or six people, it would also help, you know, to coach something to something which is explainable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier if there's five, six people having that conversation.
Yeah.
Or, you know, one person having that conversation on topic one person having that conversation in topic two, instead of all of it coming down to the one person who is there, who is me at the moment. It's not just CodeSniffer which has this problem. I mean, a lot of the big projects in the PHP world are largely dependent on a single maintainer, or at sometimes they might have a small team, 2-3 people, but even then there is always a lead. And if that lead would fall away, it would be very problematic for most of these projects.
Yeah, it's like I can't remember his name now. One of the singers that sings, "You don't know what you've got till you lose it."
Yeah,
right. And normally I don't like to come from fear and from no, but really in this hour, I really want to scare your pants off, folks, because you should be worried about this. Because right now, if I understood you correctly, and I'm only talking about the public projects here, there are between 300 and 500 projects, 500,000 projects, depending on this software, depending. Now imagine, Juliet has the key to the castle. And she told me it took 8 years until anyone allowed her to even commit. And committing, for those who are not so technical, means you change the code and you are allowed to add your changed code to the system.
It's basically write access.
It's, yeah.
Before that, you have the right to propose changes, but someone else takes the decision. Commit rights means you have the right to take that decision, and also to take that decision about code other people propose.
Now imagine people. More people are needed. Funding for this project is desperately needed. People who are maintaining big projects like this shouldn't be begging to get sponsorships. People should be coming in by the herds and say, "Here, take my money and maintain this. We're all using it." But, you know, it's like that. And I just hope we don't have to experience what it's like when the day comes and it is too late. Because the thing that we all need to worry about is, because this is so much in the background, it's not as present as something beautiful and shiny. We don't realize what happens if the wrong person gets his or her fingers or their fingers on the keys. Because if an update with code that can hack backdoors into whatever systems is rolled out, even if it's happening siphon wise, drop wise, I think you've experienced that. It happened, right?
Except utils. Except utils was a tool, intents and purposes, not proven, but very, very, very likely state-sponsored attack on open source, where someone started proposing changes. Those weren't merged quickly enough because the maintainer was overwhelmed and overworked and not paid. So then there was community pressure, but that community pressure were most likely sock puppets. The sock puppets are fake accounts from that same person who proposed the changes, saying, can you please merge this? So that person then got commit rights. And then very slowly, over a period of 2 years, they put in little bits of very innocent looking code, which together were the building blocks for something which became a backdoor into Linux. And it was only called just in time before it ended up on every Linux server in the world. Now, CodeSniffer is not Linux, but CodeSniffer does rewrite the code of the project it scans with its fixer. So depending on which sniffs you have running, if someone would add malicious code in one of those fixes, as in would make that fixer write malicious code into your project. We just discussed, you know, that patch to WordPress was 100,000 lines. Nobody actually reviewed that 100,000 lines. So if, presuming that most people do review, say 80% do review, 20% don't, that still means that 20% of that 500,000 PHP projects, and that includes projects like Magento, Drupal, WordPress, Typo3, all of those use CodeSniffer, literally all of them. So all of those projects could that way accidentally get a backdoor. And of course, you hope that enough reviews being done, and you hope that people will catch that before it becomes a released version. And I, more than anything, I hope it will never happen, and that I will catch that before it even enters PHP CodeSniffer. But it does mean that I have to be extremely careful and really, really validate my trust in people before I give someone else commit rights, write access to this project.
And you know what? If you're working for bigger companies, or if you, even if you own a bigger company that has a lot of responsibilities, the first thing you do is vet someone, and then you know how hard and how complex and how expensive it is to thoroughly vet someone. And this is something I do know about. I've been a recruiter at high level for 8 years. Vetting was the best part of my job. But that's a whole other story.
This episode is brought to you by GoDaddy. GoDaddy isn't just helping small businesses get online with domains, hosting, and tools. They're also backing the open source ecosystem that makes the web work. In 2024, GoDaddy invested in PHP code quality tooling by supporting the PHP Coding Standards Project, the backbone of tools like PHP CodeSniffer, with financial contributions to help improve code quality across the PHP landscape. Whether you're building plugins, themes, or apps, GoDaddy's commitment to tools and communities like PHP CodeSniffer means better standards, better code, and a healthier web for all. So check out GoDaddy's hosting and developer resources to level up your workflow at GoDaddy.com.
So now, I know a lot of people think, yeah, open source, all these people are crazy. They're working for free.
And we are crazy. And I literally mean that. In a lot of ways, we are crazy to still believe in the old time economy, when we all realize that the world doesn't run without voluntary work. Except nowadays, there's so much pressure on, everyone needs to have both people in a couple working. The economy needs to run and make more money. That voluntary work, which used to be about 60% of the economy, is being marginalized. At the same time, the work isn't gone. The work is still there.
And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, can you explain a little bit about that? Because people are going to say, yeah, it's old stuff. AI can take over all those things.
Right. And please let AI take over, because it'll guarantee work for me for the rest of my life. More subtle bark than any human can. And most of the time, it makes so many mistakes that, yeah, it just means I have work for life.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I said that to someone, like, oh man, I pray for the day AI puts me out of a job. I wish. I'm going to go back to painting again.
Yeah, but if we're talking about open source and AI, let me put this to you. AI is trained on what? On mostly open source code. It's trained on open source code without asking permission, without giving credit to the original authors of the code. In other words, the ethical question here is, do we accept theft as a legitimate way to make money? Because it's literally theft, what's happening. And worse than that, if you then go take it one step further and look at the legal side of things, the code I'm maintaining with CodeSniffer has a license called BSD3. That's a very open license. You can do all sorts of things with it. There are also licenses which are more restrictive, or what they call firewall licenses. If you use code from a firewall license, your code also has to become licensed under that firewall license.
Mm-hmm.
So now if that AI is trained on code with that firewall license and uses that code in some way or other in a patch which gets submitted to CodeSniffer, CodeSniffer has a legal problem, because I would need to relicense a project which is over 20 years old to this firewall license, because that's what the firewall license demands. But to relicense an existing project, which is open source and licensed under certain terms, I need permission of every single contributor who's ever contributed to the project.
That's impossible, right?
Exactly. In other words, unless you can guarantee that the AI you've used to create your patch has not been trained on code which is as proprietary license, as in closed source code, or code which is under firewall licenses, as in, can you guarantee that the licenses of the code this AI has been trained on are compatible with the license of the project you're trying to contribute to? I cannot accept it, because I'm opening myself personally to the legal risk.
Yeah, that. But it's also, people also think that if they forget about it, people are ruthless, you know, they don't care. Yeah. It's the same with music. I mean, everybody loves Suno, and I cry every time I hear a Suno project, because I'm a musician's daughter and I'm a musician myself. So I feel people have been stealing from us forever.
Yeah.
But it's also the people who believe that they can solve their PHP problems with AI. This is why I called out, it's being trained, the LLMs are being trained on crappy code. And I can attest to that. It's not only PHP. I mean, even something as simple as like 50 semantic HTML elements. I love those developers on Twitter that are like, hey, look at my 365-day streak on Duolingo. Hey, man, but you can't remember 50 semantic elements. Come on.
What I saw was even, and sorry, I don't make fun of some specific person, so I'm not going to name names, but I had such a laugh when there was this person saying, oh, I'm using LLMs, AI to create a WordPress plugin, and doing that in public and doing it on while live blogging on social media. Look at me going, and it's going so well, and I'm doing fantastic. And now it's published 2 days after I started, and it's fantastic. One day later, sorry everyone for the security breach.
Yeah. Yeah.
And live blogging the total panic about the security breach. I mean, it's all nice and dandy, the AIs and large language models. The whole point is, if I want to find the best solution for something, and I'm not 100% sure myself because of experience, I will read like 10 blog posts and some Stack Overflow and some manuals, and I will combine that knowledge to the best solution. And that includes that I combine my experience with, do I trust this source or don't I trust this source, or how much value do I put on this answer? Does the reasoning in which is outlined in this answer resonate with me as something which is correct, or does it resonate with me as someone who doesn't know what the hell they're doing? I can judge that because of experience, and I combine that knowledge to find the solution which is right. Where with AI, you get one solution, and the AI will insist it's correct. And no, there's nothing wrong with that code.
Yeah.
You don't actually learn you don't learn the reasoning. You don't understand it most of the time. Okay, there are really experienced devs who use AI to code faster, and I can understand that. But most of the time, most of the people using AI use it because they don't know what the hell they're doing. And they're not going to learn what source to trust and what not if they use AI.
Yeah. And I know that you are very eager to teach other people, to share your knowledge, but it has to have a good, solid financial foundation.
We're talking financials. Literally the cost of AI for me to review an AI PR is 10 times higher than the cost of me reviewing a normal PR.
Yeah. Well, that is crazy. And just to put it the other way around, for example, a hosting company, right? The next big PHP version is coming, and open source CMSs and even closed ones are saying, we're finally done supporting PHP 5.4. I mean, hello, that's like MS-DOS under PHP, okay? Now, if they have to decide, you know, sometimes you have to choose between sitting it between a rock and a hard place, right? And I think as a hosting company, that's we've been talking about that before, because we had a nice long talk before and many talks before that. You want to know what your risk is. You want to get an estimate. So what if I now just upgrade everyone away from 5.4 and I'm upgrading them to, well, let's be courageous, 7.3? I know we're at 8.4 now, but right, this is how things go. The forums explode, social media explode. Look at what my host did. My site went down because I didn't update for WordPress for the last 10 years, but who cares? It's happening. And then this is an incredible cost on the support desk of a hosting company. This is the cost they're looking at. It's not their server. It's not the gigabytes. It's not the processors. It's not even the power they're paying for. It's the people. And using a tool like CodeSniffer saves them literally from hundreds of thousands, and if they're larger, even millions over the years. And I really want to appeal to anyone listening, put your money where your mouth is. Support this project.
And to make sure that people don't say like, don't go and say, oh, but what you're saying is bullshit. No, something like PHP compatibility, which is an external standard built on top of PHP CodeSniffer, can detect whether code is, can detect in 78% of all cases where the code is compatible with certain PHP versions. By running that on a server where the PHP version is going to be upgraded for, hosts can detect whether which customer is going to have a problem. So this is what we're talking about. It's not, you know, just the fact that CodeSniffer exists and that the code style looks good and that a certain bug gets found by the scans before it makes it into production. Now, it's actually, you can scan a whole server and figure out, okay, which code is going to have a problem when we upgrade this to a different PHP version. And these kind of things are facilitated by PHP CodeSniffer.
You know what I'm thinking right now? you're maintaining this all by yourself and people are putting everything on your shoulders. And one of the things that suddenly came to my mind is, what if people are like, okay, we want to support this. Why don't we ask them to come with a plan, with a financial plan for you? So let them do that, because you're busy enough as it is doing that work. I know you're doing it from morning till evening. Yeah. And
there's people contributing. It's not just me, but I am the sole maintainer, yes. And that's also why my things like fundraising is yet another burden, because it also comes down to me, and it's a completely different skill set. I'm not a marketeer, I'm a developer. Basically, maintainer time in open source, maintainer time is the scarcest commodity of all. And a maintainer needs to be very, very selective. What do I want to spend my time on? And that's another problem with AI. It wastes maintainer time. Even just closing them and having to check, oh, this is AI, close, is wasting maintainer time. And maintainer time is the scarcest, most valuable commodity in open source.
Yeah. How much, if you could train 5 people who are really interested in doing this, who know they're also going to get paid for doing this, and you had to train 5 people, how much money would you need? Did you ever think about that? Because otherwise, we're going to send this question out in the world to all these fancy CEOs who are really good at calculating these things, CEOs, CFOs. Why don't you folks calculate what that costs?
Well, I haven't calculated it based on a number of people. I have calculated like what it would need to have continuous maintenance of CodeSniffer in a structural fashion, where those people will do the bulk of the actual work can get paid. Mm-hmm. And it's about €500,000 a year, euros.
That's not much.
No, but we're nowhere
near. That's not much. That is not much.
We're nowhere close to that at this moment, funding-wise.
No, but I mean, you're not asking for $5 million.
No.
I mean, the project would thrive if you had $1 million.
Yeah.
But given the number of companies that depend on this, and it, you know, really, I know, you know, Open Channels FM originates from Do the Woo. By the way, did you hear that Do the Woo has been resurrected as a podcast?
I did hear something about
it. Yeah, James Kemp and Katie Keith. They had the first episode. They invited Matt Mullenweg last week to speak about WooCommerce. And at Open Channels FM, we are more venturing out into the open source world broad. I mean, everybody knows us from WordPress, but come on, there's so much more. And this is a worldwide thing. So I think it would be great if people would come and I mean, maybe Juliet doesn't want to talk to everybody because she's too busy. They can also come to me. Don't worry, I'll filter them for you.
That would be very much appreciated. But yeah, I generally try to make time for people who want to help the project. I really do try. And I will jump on video calls. But the one thing which I do find problematic with that is the amount of times I jump on a video call with someone who is extremely enthusiastic and then doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but this is, you know, I think this is a catch-22, because I think you need the funding and some serious project management skills, people with that behind this project, to carry this for you, because you can't do all that. You're going to burn out if that happens, and that's the last thing we want to happen, right? So, yeah. So how can people reach you? How can they find you?
I'm on all sorts of social media. I'm on Mastodon primarily, both with my personal account as well as the CodeSniffer account.
Yes.
Similar, I'm on X, both with a personal account as well as a Coach Sniffer account. And yes, I do not approve of X anymore, but the followers, people who follow me, are still there. So I do want to give them the information about Coach Sniffer.
Yeah, it's JRF.
You know what? I'll send you all the links in a minute, and then you can post them in the show notes.
Yes.
Including the Open Collective and the GitHub sponsors links, which are obviously available for Coach Sniffer to fund Coach Sniffer. And for those people who use ThanksDev, yes, we're on ThanksDev too.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And also, I would like to call out to anyone who knows how to organize EU funding, government funding, because it's also tax systems that and governments that run on PHP. There, especially in the Netherlands, I don't know about Germany, but in the Netherlands, a lot of people switch to open source. So this is not just a commercial thing. This is a social thing that affects us all. So if there's someone who says, hey, I know how to approach the EU or whatever for funding, come and find us.
Yeah, I've looked at some of the forums, like for Sovereign Tech and everything, and the amount of time you need to spend on writing all of that up is quite a lot. And then there's always some clauses why you don't qualify.
Mm-hmm. There are specialists for that, and so my call is to those who can support with that, getting the funding, getting the support, getting this organized, and really come with your questions. And you know, best thing is probably to ask them in writing, so it can be filtered, and so you get your answer. Because, man, if someone told me or you 25 years ago, after this stupid Y2K thing, that we're going through something like this again.
Yeah, but like in 10, 15 years' time, a lot of open source maintainers are reaching pension age. We need to set up that line of succession now, because it takes years to train people, if they're greenfields, to actually be able to maintain a project. Some projects are easier than others. Some some people are more experienced than others, but it takes years. So we need to start getting that sorted now.
Tell me one last thing. What's the joy of this project? What are moments in this project where you are like, wow, this is really cool?
I'm going to give... an answer.
Don't give me the bitter old open source maintainer answer.
a quite silly answer in a lot of ways. Basically, when I use it myself and then I'm really happy that a bug was prevented because of one of the sniffs I wrote years ago, and that sniff flagged something in the code which I was analyzing for someone else analyzing because I wrote it myself, and when it's my thing, so I don't, I prevent bugs.
Yeah, that's joy. Oh, Juliet, I think you are amazing. I'm very honored that I know you, and thank you for coming on to the show.
It was lovely speaking with you again.
I hope to have you on here in not too much time, and then maybe we can say, yay, we did it.
That would be great. And I would very much look forward to that. Yes,
that
absolutely.
That would be great. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, my dear audience, I hope you enjoyed this. And I want to thank Open Channels FM also for giving us this platform to talk about this. Thank you, Bob Don. Thank you, everybody else who is voluntarily working on these podcasts, and the sponsors making this possible. Yes, and again, extra, extra thank you to GoDaddy and Automattic for sponsoring PHP Code Sniffer. And I hope many people follow suit. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to GoDaddy for supporting this episode.
Until the next time, take care.